Okay. Yeah. Got a gavel around here somewhere. Have your attention, please. We'd like to call the meeting to order here for this evening. This is the committee of the whole meeting for the march here in the Eastern Lancaster County School District. I'd like to welcome everybody that came out tonight. Hope you come back again sometime. Just one announcement before we get going. Forever speaks at the microphone, and also the board members here. Will you please speak into the microphone so that we are recording everything that comes from these meetings, so it's able for somebody wants to go and listen to the tapes, that's easy to hear what was being said. With that, will we please join me for a moment of silence and the pledge to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, Bob, you have an announcement about one of the things that was on our agenda.
Yeah, two items. First of all, Mr. Naranjo is planning to be here. He contacted me prior to the meeting. He's out on a lacrosse field, and I told him that's a higher priority because he's got direct contact with our young athletes, and that's the most important thing he has to do right now. But he should be coming in, I'm thinking, 7:20, 7:30. The other announcement is there is an adjustment to the agenda. Item number 3, the special presentation by the class of 2022, will be delayed. It sounds like they want a little more time to perfect their presentation so that that they hopefully get an approval and a yes from the school board. So we can look forward to hearing from them at a meeting in the near future. So take that item number 3 off the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll move on to citizens of the district, their comments. I have a couple cards here in front of you. I will read the first person off and also the person that will be following them. When you come forward, please state your name and your address for our records. Okay, the first person for tonight is Justin Nolte, followed by Faith Pickle.
Good evening.
Yes.
All right. I made some notes here. My name is Justin Null, 404 Campbell Lane, New Holland. I have a daughter in a high school, and I have two boys, one in high school and one also at New Holland Elementary. Both of my boys play a lot of basketball. They play all the time. They play for the school. They play outside. They're always playing basketball. So about a year ago, I signed up to be Garden Spot Boys Basketball Booster Club president. I did this to support our coaches and our program so that my boys can have a successful basketball program to be a part of in the years to come at Garden Spot. And tonight, I just want to offer you some sports floor perspective. I work for a construction company, and about 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to design and work in the construction of a new clubhouse facility at Willow Valley Communities. And in this clubhouse, there was a 3,600-square-foot sports floor. Which was a really big deal for the community because they had residents on that floor. And I recall at that time, 5 years ago, installing that subfloor beneath the sports floor. So it was a really big deal at the time. So recently I was shocked to hear that our existing high school courts do not have a subfloor beneath them and that the floor consists of like a non-resilient floor. I was here at the board meeting on Monday, the February 24th, and I heard what these coaches and these parents had to say about injuries and the concerns with the gym floor. So since that meeting, I reached out to this contact that I had in this project that I personally had involvement of 5 years ago. And they're with Miller Flooring Company, who installs sports floors they installed the sports floor at the Willow Valley Clubhouse, the project that I was a part of. I reached out to my contact. His name's Eric O'Connor. He's the manager of the Sports Construction Division for Miller Flooring. They're located in Westchester. So Miller Flooring has installed thousands of resilient floors over the last 20 years from northern PA to Virginia, from elementary schools to Division I universities. And I kind of wanted to get his perspective because I knew I was involved with this project with him.
And he shot me an email. I'll just read a few kind of highlights. I have copies here. I'll just read a few highlights of kind of his perspective in their business from Miller Flooring. One of the things he says here on non-resilient flooring is that in the past 30 years, non-resilient systems have been phased out for multiple reasons. The first reason is due to the reduction of impact and repetitive stress injuries in the athletes. This is the most important in younger athletes because their bones and joints are still growing and their muscles are not developed. Young children may benefit from a sports floor that has a higher shock absorption to minimize injury and reduce impact. He goes on to kind of be four resilient floor systems. He notes here that there's a Maple Flooring Manufacturers Association, and they have done extensive research to look at the force reduction versus the gym performance. And he summarizes it here just by saying, this research and development of resilient flooring over the past 20 years, there has been a need and demand for high-quality, resilient maple floors to reduce the impact and repetitive stress injuries for athletes of all ages. So there's many reasons. If you'd like a copy, I'd be happy to give you a copy of my email. So I just want to thank you for your time and consideration. I just thought it might be helpful for some insight on a project I was personally involved in. I did bring a sample of that floor. It was in my office, and in the back room, I had a small 2-foot by 1-foot little sample of that wood floor system. So if you're not familiar with what a resilient gym floor should look like, I'd be happy to show you that here afterwards. So thank you for your consideration, not only to upgrade, but also to correct our high school gym floor for our student athletes. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Faith, and then Nate Musselman.
Good evening. I really appreciate the service that you're giving to our school district, and I pray for you constantly, and I just pray that you are continuing to be discerning and diligent in the work that you are doing here. I really appreciate it. And that's why I've come with a concern. I don't want to do this, but I can't help myself. In the fall, this concern started when I was speaking to my grandson about his objectives that he was going to be doing in school, his curriculum and things like that. And he said to me, oh, we have these goals that we're going to do, and we're to have them completed by graduation. I said, oh, that's great. What kind of goals are they? Well, the environment and everybody will be equal. And I said, what do you mean by equal? Well, nobody will be poor. Everybody will be the same. And I said, do you know what that is? That's socialism. And he said, what's that? And I explained it to him. And after I explained it to him, he said, I don't think I want that for a goal. So it just really concerned me then. And then these wonderful objectives were handed out, and I read through them, and I really thought, oh, this is different. But then I haven't been in school for a while, and my children were not in the public school. But just recently, I was came across an article that was in the book, The Illuminati Secret Plan. Common Core, Targeting Our Youth. I like to read this little excerpt from him. In her books, Bailey stressed the importance of targeting youth, knowing if children were indoctrinated with a new age worldview, the plan would become a normal part of life for future generations. Moeller, along with Julian Huxley, first head of the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, created the World Core Curriculum, a sort of UN Common Core for the world, to create a globalist education program for children worldwide. Today, most parents have no idea that the Common Core curriculum their children are taught in schools is simply an updated version of occult teachings created by Bailey, who received the information from her enigmatic hierarchy guide. Pastor Billy Crone says, The UN has been working with the National Education Association to basically carry out the UN agenda. They've been disseminating into America, not just through the media, not just through politics, but also in American schools through the NEA. And they did it by continually changing the terminology. First, you had the UN plan called Goals 2000. Then it turned into No Child Left Behind. And now it's called Common Core. They have been in control of indoctrinating American students for decades into this UN plan for global governance, global religion, etc. The UN is full-blown New Age. Crone adds that people don't take New Age practices seriously and will not until they see the big picture of where the Bible tells us this is all headed. The UN 2030 agenda outlines 17 sustainable development goals, detailing its vision for using children as agents of change. In what the Council of Foreign Relations describe as its global development agenda, the plan promotes the use of schools to indoctrinate youth with a new set of values in preparation for the new sustainable world order. Former UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and UNESCO Director General Irina Bokvica said at the World Education Forum in South Korea in 2015 that globalized schools worldwide need to reshape children's values to create global citizens. And then it goes on to say how these people are getting these children to learn about New Age ideas, occult concepts, and concealed Luciferism. So I thought, I've seen something like this, and there it was on these objectives that we were handed out. Actually, global's in there, or globalization, 26 times. And not only that, page 2 says core values. I don't know if anybody really knows where this came from, what its root is. Is it part of Alice Bailey's agenda for our children in this district? If so, we know who Lucifer is, and the souls of the children in this district are being sold out by using this. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. All right, Nate, followed by Beth Clymer.
Hello, Nate Musselman, 371 State Street. Sorry, a little taller than I thought. Number one, I just want to thank the board members from the last meeting who took our field trip up to the floor. Thank you guys so much for coming up. It took you all of 3 seconds to realize that there was an issue with our floor. I apologize about my dress. I came from Open Gym. And unfortunately, when I was at Open Gym today, and we can take another field trip, right down the middle of our floor, the floor is now cracking up from the concrete heaving underneath of it. It runs right down the middle of the gym floor. And paint's not going to fix that. I'm sorry, it's just not. And we noticed it today. Actually, one of my players noticed it when he was sliding. We're doing defensive slide drills. And he came over and said something to me. We all looked down the floor, and you can see it running right down the middle of the floor. So, again, after we're done tonight, I would advise even some of my people to my left who didn't come to our field trip last time, I invite you to come up and look with us. I'd love it for you to see it yourself. And to now take a look at this upheaving that's going on in the middle of our gym floor. It was something new to me today. I wanted to thank Justin for talking as well about the floor. The biggest thing was I just want to thank you guys for your time last time that I was up here. So thank you so much.
All righty. Beth, followed by Jason Kaufman.
Hi, I'm Beth Clymer, 978 Sunset Avenue, New Holland. And I just wanted to address about, I guess a month ago, during one of the meetings, we had talked about the video cameras being installed but yet not hooked up. I would just ask that they would be hooked up for the safety of our children. And also, on Friday, my son's part of the baseball team, and when him and the lacrosse players came in, they had a lot of their personal property stolen, at least 3 sets of AirPods and cash and some other things that were stolen. So I just am asking that, you know, we would look out for our kids and their well-being, and if we're already spending all this money, let's just do it right. And with the vaping things as well, let's set it up and do it right, because I know from my son and his friends hearing that's still an issue going on. So I just thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Jason?
Good evening. Just want to thank you all as well for your time and all the energy you put into the school. And I'm Jason Kaufman, 598 West Broad Street. I have two kids in middle school, two kids in elementary. They're going to be coming up, so looking forward to a good education. And just would like to pray for you guys. Just take a minute. God, our Father, creator of the universe, Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for our children that you've entrusted us with. Lord, we ask that you be in our midst in this meeting tonight. As we come together as a community at this school board meeting in a world filled with fear and questions, and we all have a lot of things on our minds. We know in your word you tell us over and over to fear not and do not be afraid, to be bold and courageous. So we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit calming our hearts and speaking peace to our souls. Lord, give us clear minds and peaceful hearts tonight as we gather. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for bringing to attention their concerns this evening. All right, the first item of business would be the approval of the personnel report. Any information like to be added to that personnel report? Okay. Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the personnel report?
So moved.
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Personnel report approved. Okay, we move on to the first committee, Property and Services. Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, thank you. We have two action items for next Monday. The first one is the approval of the district's resolution approving the Lancaster County Career and Technology Center of financing. It's actually a refunding of the 2014-2017 bond issues. Since the CTC cannot, quote, issue debt, it is debt of each member school district. Therefore, we would need to approve this refunding. It will not impact our current bond payments to the CTC. They will then take the savings and put it in their cap reserve fund to help offset future projects. So be no change to what we're currently paying for the debt, but we do need to approve it next Monday as part of one of the member school districts. The second action item, tomorrow at 2 p.m. will be the bid opening for the bid on the Garden Spot locker room renovations and HVAC upgrades. We will send out to the board a summary of the bids received this week, and the architect will be at our next meeting next week to actually go over the bids and provide a recommendation, and if all goes well, hopefully award that bid next Monday night. Any questions on any of those two action items? Okay, hearing none. The next two items up for discussion and hopefully tentative action, I'll turn over to Dr. Hollister for his review and input.
Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. So we have talked for some time now, probably over a year, about the need for a synthetic turf field. What I'd like to do is have a discussion with the board, and if the board is amenable, take some action this evening to get the ball rolling on that. Just to review at a basic level some of the facts. For the longest time, the majority of the schools in the league did not have synthetic turf fields. About 4 years ago, we probably hit the halfway mark. At this point, we're now one of the few school districts that have a synthetic turf field, or that don't have a synthetic turf field. The issues related to that specifically, I think it does at this point. There are two main sort of points that I'd like to make. I think competitively, our athletes are at a disadvantage at this point, not having a synthetic turf field because they play so often on them. It's a speed situation, especially in field hockey and soccer, where the ball is on the ground. It to some degree is also a factor in our lacrosse players. In addition to that, so just the competitive nature of sports is one piece. The second piece is, despite Herculean efforts, weather has not cooperated to keep our main football field in decent shape. 2 years ago or last year, we actually had to rent an industrial roller and roll the field mid-season, which is very unusual. The weather patterns, the way they're shaping up, we get either too much rain or not enough rain, especially in the spring when we really need to have that field not touched. We're using the field, the main field, often. So I think for those two reasons, in part because we just can't keep the grass field where it needs to be, the main field, and on top of that, the competitive nature of our athletic teams at this point, I do think there is a need for a synthetic turf field. My recommendation is to have our architects develop options for the main field and potentially here on the field hockey field. So to develop up in detail specifications for those two sites. And here's my logic. I was probably uncertain as to which was a better option until recently, when it was clear to us that we can no longer repair the track. The track is pretty much beyond repair. It's shot. Again, folks, to your credit, to the credit of the administration, we use things till they wear out here. We typically don't purchase things before they wear out. True for our HVAC, for those of you who are here for that meeting, we were past date on all of that mechanicals. Same thing is true for our track. And because the track needs a complete redo, I think synthetic turf field in the main stadium makes the most sense right now. But I do want to develop both options to see what they look like in terms of what we get and what they cost, so that the board has two options to choose from down the road. If the board wishes to do something else, now's the time to have that conversation. If there's another path to explore, so to speak, I remind the board that we did have a discussion about turf fields, and we developed some loose thumbnail sketches and drawings for turf fields when we made the decision to move the tennis courts. If you recall, the tennis courts were also shot beyond repair and needed a complete replacement. We decided to move the tennis courts over to the Blue Ball property, where we've recently acquired property, so that we could build from new there, and then in addition have extra wiggle room, a little bit more elbow room on this campus, because believe it or not, this campus is tight. We use every square inch for our athletics that take place, particularly when we get into spring season. So my recommendation is to proceed with an order to have our architect develop those two sites with details, so that we have a real good idea of what cost would be, and bring that back to us as soon as possible. So the action item that I'm seeking this evening is to go ahead and approve the administration to reach out to our architect and begin that development. At this point, I think it's perfectly acceptable to have a discussion if you wish. If you want to offer something different, I'm happy to hear that. They're just my thoughts and rationale as how to proceed.
I just have a couple quick questions.
Sure.
Two thoughts. When you come back with the bids, is there any way we can also come back with potential research? I guess my biggest concerns, I know years ago, the statistics showed that there were more injuries on turf fields, especially in football with ACL tears and stuff. And so I just didn't know where, but that was many years ago.
Yeah.
So I would be curious to see what's the latest with that. I mean, how good are the fields? How safe are they? And then two, I just would be interested in seeing too what the cost difference is being as far as having a separate, maybe a separate, I don't know, soccer. Like how many teams play on that football field besides football?
Oh my gosh, soccer plays on it, and the midgets play on it. Lacrosse plays on it, so it's pretty heavily used.
So I guess the question is there a way to keep if that's only used for football and once a week, would the turf be in better condition if we had if our synthetic field was a secondary field?
Yeah.
I'm just
I mean I would have the athletic director weigh in on some of these things. I've been told by the head football coach that he'd prefer synthetic turf, and I trust my coaches. Well, Musselman, we're not sure about him yet, but he's still new. We're still trying to train him a little bit.
Work in progress.
Which is proving to be very difficult.
Well, I don't want to get a position.
I knew you could take it, Nate. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I trust Matt Zamperini, and the last communication I got from him was he would prefer to have the synthetic turf. So my thinking is he's comfortable with the injuries, but I would have my athletic director.
Yeah, I don't want to get in a position where we have at the gym floor where we do it, and then we're like, oh, no, now we have more injuries, and now we want to get back to turf. Because I've read varying reports. I knew this was coming, and there are schools that have switched back to turf natural turf.
And again, I would have originally said what you were thinking. I would have thought the football wanted to play on grass, and I think if we had the luxury of just having a grass field for football, I think we could pull that off. But too many other sports need to use that field.
Right.
Because it's the main field and it's the field that's lighted. So there's for lots of reasons, Mr. Buck, I don't think in terms of my personal preference at this point, because of the track, I think my scale sort of tips toward the main field for synthetic as opposed to a practice field. Everyone would be able to use a field that was right behind us here on the hockey field too. But because of the need of the track, I kind of tipped that way a little bit. This is the point of the conversation is to ask these questions now. And certainly athletic director can weigh in, but I know I've heard directly from a head coach and I trust my head coaches. So,
is there also a way when you come back to let us know how much money we've been investing in the natural turf field, like the rolling, how much did that cost? How much did it cost to maintain mowing it and versus a turf, which I would assume would have minimal upkeep.
Yeah. And I don't want to fool anyone. There is maintenance of a turf field as well. They're not free. There are some maintenance things that go along with that, but we can certainly pull together sort of an overall picture of all those things. Good questions and good comments. Other thoughts?
I just wanted to say this goes back at least, my memory, I think it's at least 15 years. The first discussion for turf field was brought up by, I think it was Todd Reitnauer, brought it up and pushed it. And I haven't heard as much at board meetings in recent years about that, but it's been good. And everybody knows I was the strongest advocate against turf. So I've changed my views somewhat on it. Yeah. So.
Well, it makes it easier that we're not sort of we lead enough. We don't need to lead. We didn't need to lead on synthetic turf field,
I know,
too.
And maybe Neil can answer this. I know there was a thing floating around a few years ago, and I think it was a report on one of the networks about the danger from the – because I know my daughter played at Avernia on turf, the pellets that come from the cancer risks with the pellets. Have you heard any updates about that? Nothing more.
I think that was pretty much debunked.
Debunked, okay. Because basically those pellets are ground-up tires, basically.
Many more turf fields, and there's numbers that are going or have gone up because of the pellets. And I personally don't
think. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give you what we have. I mean, just like anything, you can find anything you want to support your position on the internet. I mean, that's what the internet for at this point. So you're going to hear arguments for and against. So really, it's going to come down to, what the experts say and what the experts recommend. But certainly, you can go find lots of research that says synthetic turf fields are more dangerous, and that would be the people who don't. Trying to get a quality neutral position on that on the internet is going to be difficult to do, I think. But we certainly will bring to you everything we have, and of course, the athletic director will give you some of his opinion as well. Other thoughts on turf, Mr. Arno?
Yeah, I'm sorry for my tardiness, but I do have just two questions. The space behind the stadium where the football team practices, adjacent to the baseball and soccer field, is there any thought to exploring pricing for that? It's a pretty nice piece of ground. We could retain the grass field on Tower Road and have a nice, well-conditioned space. I know that that space gets used heavily, but it's not in very good shape. So that would add, I think, some versatility potentially.
Yeah.
And with the stadium being back-to-back against that, I would think that there's already pretty easy access to utilities and things for lights and additions of bleachers, things of that nature. So that may be...
So my when we did the first round, when we looked at this with the tennis courts, that site had, in my mind's eye, a few more complications. Number one, lighting that site against the neighbors would be a challenge. I think we'd get some resistance from the folks who live in the Willows. I mean, they get enough light from the main stadium as it is. To park lights right there on their property line, I think, is a challenge. The second thing is our track program uses that whole space for its throwing events, and that's going to be it's going to be hard on a synthetic turf field to be pitching a javelin out there. The third thing is that is our primary parking for events at the stadium. I'm open to the idea, but there are some of the immediate challenges that I think come out. Mm-hmm. If the board wishes, we could develop three options. It's going to cost a little bit more money to do that. Quite honestly, I was only trying to give you two because I think the three votes would just make it more complicated for you to zero in on one. But it's the will of the board on this case. It really, truly is.
Can I just ask, as far as clarification on the tennis courts, those are being moved over to Blue Ball. So that entire area, the tennis courts and fields that are there up to the softball, I guess, would be what you're considering that area for, right?
That, no. Ms. Conroy, so if we were to do a turf field in this back corner where the field hockey field is, in order to do that well and include some more permanent bleachers on both sides, we would have to carve into the parking lot to make that appropriate size. And the thought would be that that parking would then be relocated to where the tennis courts currently are. And there was an additional thought that the base of the tennis courts would save us some money potentially because we would just build the parking lot on top of that. So that's what the thought was. It was the right opportunity to give us a little bit of elbow room on this campus by moving those tennis courts. So that decision is made, and in fact, we're hoping that we'll have a final bid for your approval on those tennis courts April coming up soon.
My other question was early on in some of the thoughts that surrounded athletic turf surfaces was that the track space that we have now is not large enough to accommodate a field big enough to have every sport there and wrap the track around it. Is that still an issue, or is there?
So two things, and the athletic director would be better able to talk to you about this, and we could bring him in. Our track is currently two lanes larger than it needs to be. So we could actually strip out two lanes. Tell me, you know, that would leave, we have eight, and that would take us down to six, correct?
Yeah.
So we actually have more lanes on the track than are needed for a standard meet. So theoretically, we could steal a little space that way. I was also told that by the athletic director that the space meets the minimal criteria for soccer and lacrosse. So it's tight, very tight. But my recommendation would be to take the inner two lanes out of the mix, and then you would gain eight to 10 feet more.
Okay, thanks.
If we're looking at putting turf in the stadium, does that impact the second stadium that we've been talking about, making that turf? Would that still
happen? See, that's another thought. I am not going to be the superintendent who recommends you do two synthetic turf fields at one time. But we could theoretically take the design that we don't choose, whichever one we don't choose, and I'd put that on the book on the shelf until we get some of the other work that we need to have done, and keep that for another project, perhaps 5 to 7 years out. I don't think the drawings would be completely wasted, because there could be a point down the road where a board chooses to have a two turf option. Many schools have multiple turf fields now. We're behind on the synthetic turf. Unless the board would like to support Mr. Naranjo's questions and have us develop three, I would proceed with two, with an explanation of why the third option, or we can develop all three and give you pros and cons for all three options. I really have no strong preference.
Outside of the lighting, which I can see that to those neighbors specifically, is there a reason other than that in doing it over there, or having that as a plan of, hey, A, B, C in succession? We're going to do this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, so that everything is there. Mm-hmm. Outside of Javelin, I have no idea whether they would.
Yeah, the biggest challenge is the throwing, I would say, and I'd have to go to Mr. Schaefer to see if we could throw the throwing somewhere else. The Javelin, that needs some yards. Sometimes they throw them out there, pretty far.
Yeah.
So between that, the discus, and the shot put, you need a pretty large area for those things to land. That we couldn't squeeze that in anywhere else. You got softball fields, you got the hockey fields. That really is the best space for the track, the field part of the track and field. And it's a lot of parking. Unless it gets muddy, that field is packed on a home football game. And I'd rather not dump all that traffic into the streets of New Holland, because that would create other issues, I think, for us.
Any other discussion?
Again, I'd prefer to have an action tonight so we can get going on this. So I would need a motion by someone related to the discussion.
Can I ask a question first? As far as using that field for parking, just throughout the seasons, what kind of damage is that doing to that ground? Are we spending a lot of money to fill in ruts and everything once fans leave? Or what is that doing as far as using them then for a track? I was thinking along the line of injuries people are talking about. Mm-hmm. If we're parking on the fields, then we're expecting our athletes to perform on. Mm-hmm. That's just a concern I have. Are we seeing that at all?
It's a legitimate concern. That field needs attention, too. We have to plug it. We've got to recrown it. And keep in mind, that's the practice field for the football team, so they give it a good chewing up in the fall. Grass is... it's expensive. We've put a lot of money into our grass fields. So it's certainly not as expensive as a synthetic turf field, but we've put some money into those, both the practice field and the main field, Ms. Skyer. Yeah.
And that would be the only reason why I would say the three options, only because if we know the football team is practicing on that field, mm-hmm. what the difference is going to be from them practicing on a field where, let's say, soccer is playing that day mm-hmm. on the turf. They're not practicing on turf, and what potential injuries could occur then from them switching so easily when they're practicing on one to the other. So, that would be the only reason why I'd say three options would be nice, but I do understand the voting part of what you were saying, three options.
If I get out of this with 3-3-3, I'm going to be really angry, and I'm gonna look at the two of you when it comes.
Can we see an option with seven different fields?
I'm just kidding. You guys are trying to kill me. Now Keith just mentioned a parking garage. It's a really nice. So
get a helicopter landing pad. Like a Geico.
By the way, that was supposed to be a parking
garage. That was a parking garage. I've heard. Yeah. I was going to say, there was rumors that I've been told that was.
It's true. Right?
That's why
true.
We looked that's why that parking lot is elevated the way it is.
Five stories now instead of two.
Oh, my right. God. So someone needs to make a motion, and if it's Mr. Conroy or Mr. Ronho, then I would go with the three. If someone else wants to go for the two, who wants to step up? Oh, Mr. Dahl has
I have a question first. With these renovations, are you just talking about the field itself, or are you talking about the bleachers and everything else with that too?
Good question. Bleachers were done not too long. They were done during the renovation, correct, Mr. Walsh?
I believe you're right.
That's all done.
Okay.
So it's really just field.
So none of the buildings, like the concession area, all
that's
that would
done.
Stay the same?
We did all that in the renovation.
Okay, so we're just talking about like the inner field.
We upgraded, we upgraded electrical service, plumbing, all that stuff was done.
Perfect.
Did that include a scoreboard at that time, just like that whole side, or no?
Yeah, scoreboard was included, yep.
Okay.
Yep, we did it all. We did a lot out there. The only thing we really didn't do was the field itself.
Thank you.
Could you outline what those three options are again that we might possibly be looking at? They're starting to cross them.
Yeah, so we would get the have the architect draft up plans for a synthetic turf field on the practice field, on the main field, and out here in the east corner, northeast corner, where the field hockey players play currently. That, if we would do that, that would be, the practice field and those fields, we would spec that so that there were some permanent bleachers, not nearly as large, but they would be full-blown sort of, you know, lighting the whole deal. That's what we'd be looking at.
Would that potentially also be for soccer or just field hockey?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
if we were to do it back here, it would be anyone could practice on at any time.
Okay.
We would work out a schedule, especially on some of these wet. I mean, and as I said before, some of these wet springs, we've literally had contests where teams have not practiced. Like, we have had a contest ready to go where teams haven't had practice on the field. Again, who knows what this spring's going to yield, but we've had some tough springs for planning and scheduling. So in that case, they'd work out a rotation, you know, Monday, Tuesday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, one team gets it at 3 o'clock, and Tuesday, you know, and then they flip back and forth. So the synthetic turf field in the back corner here would be used, you know, till late at night, as it would be on the main field. So wherever the synthetic turf field ends up, it's going to be used till pretty late at night, 9, 10 o'clock at night would be my speculation, which is one of the reasons I'm a little concerned about putting it on the current practice field.
I mean, there's lights on that parking lot field until 9 o'clock every night, though. That's where the lacrosse room practices.
Yep.
So. Not many lights.
No.
But there's light. Yeah.
Yes.
Not enough lighting, but there's
some. Okay, I got that. I knew where you're going with that, yeah.
If we're looking at bids to have the field other than the main arena, would the bid then for the replacement of the track be separate? Is that still going to be included so
correct.
We can look at that?
That's correct. So that's a really good point. And I think that in my mind's eye, that tips the scale because we got to tear that track out anyway. You know, why you have that out? Because if you were then decide to do the synthetic turf field later, you're going to be running over your brand new track. I think money will talk, and the final specs and all that will, you know, have to make a decision when we have real information. But you know, as I said at the beginning, my personal, professional opinion at this point is tipping towards the main field because of the track.
Could they give us a quote then? What would it cost just to replace the track if we put the synthetic field somewhere else, and then also what it would cost to do both in the stadium? I'm not trying to give you a fourth bid, but to me, that's what makes the most sense.
Got it.
Sorry, that's a motion.
All right, so I would like to move to empower the administration to look into the three different scenarios, including, I guess, technically a fourth, if you're including the track as a fourth, but three different scenarios of the three different fields.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. The next item, item D, I'd like it to make comment too. You've heard a little bit about the high school gym floor. This is a fairly new development for us. Probably I started hearing a little bit about this maybe 2 years ago. And so what I'd like to do is recommend that the board at least take the initial steps to, and the initial steps are sort of a 1-2 in itself. I think the board should authorize the administration to conduct whatever studies possible to evaluate the impact of the floor and players' legs, et cetera, but then also go ahead to sort of step B and ask our architects to develop sort of a low, medium, and high remediation if, in fact, the board wants to go that direction. So it's a two-part request. One is to actually have an evaluation. We have testimonials, but I'd like to get real data to see how significant that impact issue is, because that may affect the order of how the board chooses to do its business. So step, or part A, I guess, is to actually try to determine if there's a good way to measure that impact, but then also to go right ahead and develop sort of a low-end, medium, and high-end remediation should the board decide to proceed in that direction. And that, too, I don't see a reason to wait till next week to do that. We may have a big discussion next week trying to get our final approval for the HVAC that needs done, the locker room renovation next week. So I'd be pleased if we could go ahead and get started on that at this time as well. Any discussion?
With that, I would imagine then when those bids open tomorrow, would that be, because that's going to be part of that bid piece, right? So how is that going to play?
So one of the things that, if you recall, one of the items that was in the package of work that we're having completed is a resurfacing of the gym floor. We asked, and I got to get the right terminology, we did get that in as an alternative bid. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if we got it in as an alternative. So that's an alternative bid that we may or may not take. So we can vote not to take that sanding. We'll put that aside and theoretically put that money into a potential remediation. So we can bail out, if you will, on that piece, which I would recommend.
I'd like to make a motion that we both study the impact of the floor and potential remediation options.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Do we have any further discussion?
My only discussion is just a comment that was made about, and I don't know the terminology, but something about the floor cracking. If we can get that addressed, obviously sooner rather than later, and not with paint.
Yeah, that's a new development. That,
God, yeah,
the first I heard about today, it tonight. So.
As far as the rest of the discussion, I too would, before even if we could table the idea, before even myself voting or agreeing to anything, I'd like to know more about the cracking of the floor. I feel like that's going to be a game changer. Might kind of negate the whole need for us to run any type of studies on the impact if it's going to be replaced anyway.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving on to program committee.
Good evening. I have two information items that will be action items on our March agenda. The first is new courses for our visual arts in the high school. Last month, you approved a new set of courses at the middle school, and these additional courses at the high school help to create a series of visual arts courses that build on what is going to be in the middle school, and it provides a pathway for students with a structured progression in which to advance their skills and broaden their experiences and diversify their portfolios in art. There are six courses here. The first 2D art course is one that can be taken, whether or not that's an area of real interest for a learner or not. But it does allow them to get an art credit if they'd like to. The rest of the courses, the other five courses, are more advanced and build on, like I said, what they have gotten as a foundation in, at the middle school level. The one that I really want to bring to your attention is the advanced wheel throwing class. And that class actually is a course that introduces learners to the business side of pottery. And they learn how to expand their own pottery business, market themselves, network with other business and potters to expand their knowledge and gain skills. And that's a real different take than what we have done in the past with our arts courses. This really helps. This goal of this class is to help them see how they can actually take a passion of theirs and hopefully make it into a profitable business for them. So you have the syllabus for, or the rationale for this and the syllabus for these courses. If you have any questions after looking at them, please reach out to me. You know how to reach me through phone or email, and I can answer any questions you have. These will be in our March agenda, like I said, as action items. Any questions right now?
Okay. I do have one. Uh-huh. I guess this course isn't in there yet. As far as the portfolio development and independent study, I understand the independent study part being different, but right now, aren't the regular art classes developing a portfolio for art school, or is that not happening in the regular?
That doesn't happen regularly. We do have some learners that are really interested in art and are taking independent studies, and then they do develop portfolios. But that's a smaller number, and we really don't have this nice progression of classes to move it in that direction.
Does this change the need for more teachers or utilizing the same amount that we have within these categories?
We would be utilizing the same amount. These classes would be staggered so that they may not be offered every year. They may be offered every other year. But if the learners really have a strong interest in this area within the 4 years that they are at the high school, they could take these courses.
A question I have real quick is regarding the advanced wheel throwing. So the idea is that it introduces the learners to the business side of pottery and how to start a business and improving their skills, marketing your business, networking with others to expand the revenue. So the question I have is that the only area of the arts that offers that?
At this point, this would be the first course moving in that direction.
So I guess my question is, because it's such a small niche, like, is it worth discussing, like, a general, I think it'd be fantastic to offer for all of the arts to have that opportunity to learn how to start a business. Mm-hmm. Does it have to be pottery?
I would guess it doesn't have to be. In this case, they thought that it would make sense to start with this because they have a lot of interest in ceramics and that and those types of classes. They have a Clay Studio 1 and Clay Studio 2 as part of the progression, and there's a lot of interest there. So that's my understanding is why they chose that area. They certainly could expand it further if you would like them to, and we could look at expanding it now or expanding it in the future once they've started in this area.
I mean, I like the idea. I was just curious about whether or not it's something that, you know.
My guess, Mr. Buck, typically this develops because of an interest of a specific teacher. So it's probably the teacher who does the 3D who's got an interest.
Sure.
And then we'll see how it goes, and then it could catch on.
Yeah, I think it's great to offer it. That's
yeah,
what
I hear what you're saying.
I was just wondering if I was a painter, I don't want to learn how to market my own business. I can't do that then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Can I ask, as far as this course, as far as teacher certification, would it be a business teacher teaching it or an art teacher or somebody with both certifications?
At this point, it's an art teacher. The business, we do have business marketing, and so they could work collaboratively to make sure that all the pieces are there. But at this point, it's the art teacher that would be the main teacher.
I guess that my concern would be, I mean, I'm sure our teachers are completely equipped with that skill. Just it would, I guess, make me feel better knowing that the person teaching this had some type of business education or business background, since that seems to be the main goal of this course, to start a business, or some type of finance or mathematical background as well as art.
Okay, I'll bring that to the art teacher's attention, and we'll see what we can do to, with Mr. Sanger, to make a collaborative co-taught type of environment. Okay. All right. My next topic is the new textbook for APA Psych class. It's a small read, as you can see. We've had AP Psych for, I don't know how many years, I'm looking over at Mr. Martin, 10 years. And the author, David Myers, has revised and updated the book that we actually are using. It has the same graphics and captions as the AP, same AP style questions at the end of each unit. This new update conforms to the new College Board units. He's simply reorganizing to make it easier for students to deal with the College Board's changes. The third edition also has recent research that is included in the AP exam and is not in the current edition that we are using. So this is the book for the AP Psych class. If we're going to do AP Psych, this is the book we need to use. Okay? So this is available. As you can see, I have it. It's going to make my arm very strong. But if you are interested in looking at this, you can certainly ask me for it, and I will give it to you to look at. Okay?
Okay.
And that's all I have for this evening.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Larkin. Management, Dr. Holliston.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of repeat items from last month. We'll have policies for final approval next week, policy 007. Pretty simple changes, and policy 008, very simple. Again, these are recommendations that come down from PSBA to make sure they are updated to the most recent regulations, case law, et cetera. Again, pretty minimal changes for us on these two policies. If there are any questions, I can answer them now, or we'll have those for action next week. The other thing I would like to just talk to the board briefly about, it's not on the agenda, is certainly on everyone's mind, though, the COVID-19 coronavirus. Just so you know, I'm getting regular information from a whole host of sources, including PDE, CDC, Pennsylvania Department of Health. Our professional organizations are giving us almost daily updates. The superintendents are networked around the state, as are the IU executive directors networked around the state. So there are plenty of resources coming to us and plenty of information. We have not made any decisions at all for the next couple of months, but everything is on the table, so to speak. So we're considering all the options depending on what happens. I do not want to overreact to anything, but I want to be prepared for anything. And that's kind of where we are right now. So we haven't made any specific changes. We're going to increase cleaning even more. Mr. Walsh is working on getting some materials. As you can imagine, there's been a real rush for all that stuff. But we do have some things that we've done some workarounds and some pretty clever ones at Mr. Walsh's recommendation that will help us do even more in the classrooms to clean. But as you know, it's not possible to stop the virus from coming through. but we can certainly minimize its impact if we have to get involved heavy-handedly. So just to say to the board that we are watching it very closely. We're watching it in some cases hour by hour as documents and information comes in. A few more schools in the Commonwealth closed down towards Philadelphia today, and so we're keeping an eye on that as well. Any questions? We're taking our lead from PDE. Secretary of Education has been in touch with us directly through email and some other things.
Yeah, just thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it. I know there's a lot of news about that right now. So I guess my curiosity just sort of leads me down that path. We talk about other schools closing and how are some other schools handling that closure? And do we have an idea of what we would have to do or how we would handle that if we close?
Yeah, so we met the administrative team along with some key personnel members, teachers, to just discuss options and I want to repeat, worst case scenario, that we would have to close school for a prolonged period of time. You know, what would it take to keep students engaged from home? And so we've explored those options. It would not be perfect, I can tell you right up front. For example, if we would have to close school for a prolonged period of time and conduct some type of online learning, certainly specials teachers would be sort of locked out of that. There's really little you can do. You can't throw clay at home if you don't have a wheel and clay. You can't, you know, process wood. You can't do those things. The other group of folks who would be severely affected would be our special education students who really do need aides and teachers to support them. And so we would probably be looking at some type of compensatory education for those students if we would have to close school. The other thing that we do have going for us is we haven't used all our snow days, although some of our snow makeup days we've already passed, but we also have Professional Development Act 80 days that we could apply for days. So theoretically we could close school for almost a week and have it not cost the school district anything in terms of reimbursement from the state. So, you know, theoretically, if we stretched out a little bit, made up a few days at the end of the school year, we could get, you know, maybe a Friday through the following week to a Monday, almost get a two-week block of time together that wouldn't cost us too much time on the outside. So we're thinking through all those scenarios. If the coronavirus holds off long enough to wrap a longer closure around Easter vacation, you know, that might be a way to do it too, where we could really get a nice chunk of time to let everything, quote, settle. But it's a moving target. It's really moving a lot. So, but know that we're looking at everything right now. Another thing that I'm going to have to make a decision about is field trips, especially field trips to large metro areas like Philly and D.C., which we have trips going out. And so all that's on my radar right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry to prolong this conversation, but you said something that made me think, and I wonder if the IT department has any statistics here potentially on how many of our students have the ability to connect to internet outside of this facility.
About 93% was our last record.
That's really high.
Yeah,
it's higher than I would have thought.
Pretty high.
Yeah.
I've asked the tech folks to come up with solutions for those other locations. You could theoretically purchase and distribute hotspot, basically cell phones that you could set up a hotspot and try and run curriculum that way. There are challenges with the online piece too. Not all of our teachers have had any experience with online learning themselves, and therefore to go and try and conduct that would be challenging.
So with that in mind and kind of off of there, as a community that way, because then you're going to get a lot of, I'm sure, feedback from parents who both work, and now what are they going to do with the kids, and
if there would be options
for that, which I'm sure you're thinking about. But
yeah, it's a no-win scenario across the board. You know, it's almost like a snow day. You know, you just don't win those. And so, yeah, but again, that's why we're at some point there may or may not be a tipping point where I have to make a decision to go one way or the other. And regardless of that decision, there'll be winners and losers, and there'll be people who are angry and people who are happy. Fortunately, we're not there yet, but I'm getting ready for that. More to come, and it's going to be my guess is, and I don't, you know, the other option is we may be told what to do too. That's a whole nother. Well, I doubt that.
I was going to mention just because it came up today that there are businesses that kids in the town have jobs. They are not allowed back to their job without a doctor's note now, if they have had a fever specifically. And so it is starting within this community specifically to where, you know, again, precautions, but that are out there.
So I know I was contacted by one of the county commissioners last week who asked my opinion on some things and asked the superintendents to participate in an emergency meeting that's being scheduled. We haven't heard any more about that, but you know, there could be an order that comes down that doesn't even give us choice. I doubt that. I doubt anyone's going to put themselves in that kind of jeopardy, politically or whatever. I think it's going to come down to us. So more to come. I mean, it's evolving daily, so hourly, in fact. And that includes all the good news for tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. I feel better already.
Yeah. Wash your hands. Don't forget your thumbs. Yeah, that's what I was told. Like, when you wash your hands, you forget to do your thumbs. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I did. There's your tip for tonight.
Try not touching your face at any given time. That's tough, too. Okay, is there any other items that board members like to bring up for discussion at this time? Hearing none, do I have a motion to close the meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Been properly moved and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?